Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners. They said, we want to send a man out to discuss this with you. They were holding the American prisoners in boats, about 1,000 yards. And they said, we want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats and was
hello and welcome to another episode of Kentucky and Grassroots Radio. We were just listening to the beginning of the story of the Star Spangled Banner, and we're also going over some things as far as the America the Beautiful. But basically, we are going to be talking to Bob DeVore today, and here he is.
Hey, man,
right.
How are we doing
Bob,
today?
How are you doing today? Doing pretty well.
I'm glad
thanks.
You said that.
So, today we're going to focus on the topic which everybody likes to talk about, and that's corruption. basically, there are a lot of things that are going on in our city. Just, you know, unfortunately, it's not, you know, unique. There's a lot of problems in a lot of cities. But, Bob, what are some of the problems that you've encountered with the metro government which have inspired you to run for office?
Well, the failure of following through with their promises with our city citizens. This administration has failed in many ways, such as the PVA, which is a elected position. Tony Lanthower is the one that the PVA stands for, Property Evaluation Administrator. So he's the administrator of Jefferson County pertaining to properties. The next is the failure of keeping the promises with the police department, and the failure of keeping the promises with our citizens pertaining to sanctuary cities. So those are the three main items I was hoping to discuss.
Okay. Let me backtrack just a little bit. From our last episode, it was hinted that there were some issues going on with the Yum Center and with Brown Foreman. What have you uncovered with those issues?
Well, I found out that Brown Foreman and Greg Fisher has a lot in common. I believe there have been some undercover issues, such as backdoor meetings with Brown Foreman and the mayor, pertaining to property sold to the Yum Center and promises made from that company and giving them, I know they might be legal contributions, but I think there might have been some some backdoor plays when it comes to contributions to our mayor. And to me, this is wrong. We need to bring these issues out to the open. We need to be really transparent in what happened with those transactions. And if we're going to move forward in our city, then we need to have everything real, transparent, and accountable. And something, this is what we need to talk about.
Oh, definitely. So now, are there any issues that the citizens need to be made aware of concerning Mayor Fisher? I know that you've brought up the property valuation.
Yes, sir. And to me, one of the biggest issues is, and I have the documentation in front of me, okay? We have an administrator, a property value administrator, who is doing some, I think, discreet transactions pertaining to his own property. So, to me, you know, when it comes to the Jefferson County property valuations, well, how did this slip underneath the radar when it comes to evaluating his own property? I even have the documents in front of me. It says that his property has been evaluated at 1.5% per year for the past 14 years. And you have other property owners who see their evaluations from 7 to 20 to 30% when it comes to the rise of their own property. And then they're going, why is my property being evaluated at a high cost? And the reason why is because the administrator can do that. And he uses a computerized program to fall through, which I think is faulty, to be honest with you, because anytime you work with computers, you have to put input into it. So my question is, who's putting all this information into the computer system? And all of a sudden they're spitting out these outrageous evaluation properties when it comes to taxes. So the real answer is, why are they doing it? And the answer is because they can. This administration is trying to find revenue everywhere he can, and one of the ways he's going to do that is through a property evaluation. And that's something I will put a stop to. It. And through Metro Council and myself, we need to find a way to keep things in check and true and find ways to help our citizens say, well, the reason why your evaluation on your property is being jacked up is, A, they can, B, because they're trying to find new ways to, and I'm being redundant, to try to find ways to increase their revenue, and this is wrong, and we need to put a stop to it.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you know, you keep on, you know, throwing out this stuff when when the government keeps on trying to take money and stuff like that, people with money, they're not going to want to hang around. They're not going to want to stay in the city. They're going to want to leave. And, you know, when you try to make the system stacked up, it's not going to help in the long run. It may help certain people grease the palms. It's definitely not helping our city.
Let me ask you something that makes it really, really dicey. Now, I have some documentation in front of me was connected to certain folks and saying that, hey, I'll give $1,000 to his campaign, and in turn, he's going to lower my property valuations. And to me, that's wrong. And that has to stop. Yeah. Period.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely
you
a
agree?
Point. Now, I'm not talking about the chips.
Yeah. exactly.
Now, let me ask you about another institution, MSD. We brought up last week, MSD's not been audited. Well, why hasn't MSD been audited?
And, you know, that's a very good point, Matt. Just last week, Angela Leap brought that point up. She said, she made a statement, and it's my own words, that MSD has not really been evaluated for the past 3 years. And she's asking that question, and she's on the Metro Council, okay? The point is, why is that happening? And I think they don't want the truth to come out. I think that their statement is, global citizens can't handle the truth. So we need to be really particular on going, then why can't we not handle the truth? Maybe you have a lot of baggage in your own administration, Mayor Greg Fisher, that you're afraid to see the truth come out and saying that MSD is bloated, MSD is not being run correctly, and as the next mayor, I will make sure that is being done correctly. We need to streamline MSD, and make sure that it is done and utilized to help our citizens to meet their needs, not the administration needs. And that's what needs to be done.
You know, obviously one idea that a lot of cities have had that just reeks of, like, corruption when you think about it is this: the idea of sanctuary cities, where we say we're going to break the federal law and keep illegal immigration coming into our city. What problems have come up since Louisville decided to be a sanctuary city?
Well, I have a document in my hand, November 16, 2017. And the Trump administration, I'll put in short term because this is a big, long document. They say that since Louisville wants to be a sanctuary city, they will probably lose close to $500,000 in grants. Now, these grants cover different issues, and we're not even talking about the school system. For example, we have ROTCs in several different schools, and they are funded by federal grants. We have free reduced lunches are funded by federal grants. So are we saying that we're not going to feed our students? Since we made that promise, I think we need to back it up. But since Greg Fisher and his notorious scheme to make a sanctuary city, he calls Louisville the international city. Now, I know that is a big phrase, but to me, when he's making that as a bubble around the sanctuary city theme, that is wrong. We need to take care of our citizens in our city first and foremost. Now, if anyone wants to come in here, they can go through the proper immigration procedures, but don't come in here and saying, you know, I'm an immigrant and I'm not going to follow the same policies that the federal laws already stated and the Constitution has stated. Well, Greg Fisher is going to take care of me. Greg Fisher is going to feed me. Greg Fisher is going to send me to the University of Louisville, and I get all this on the backs of who? The taxpayers.
Mm.
And this needs experiences when it comes to the military. I have 20 years in the military. I have 10 years at UPS. I have 6 years at the school board, which has to do with budgets, has to do with all these things, and we keep every school accountable for what they do and how they spend their money. Greg Fisher has not done that with our MSD and with our PBA, and I believe he's doing it on purpose because he thinks we're too dumb to understand what's going on. Do you agree with that, Matt?
Sounds like good sense to me. At least from what I've seen over the last few years. But let me ask you this. You know, as far as the population goes, there's a relatively high population of Republicans in this city, you know, for a city. Cities typically lean more Democrat. But, you know, probably around 45 to 50%. And yet we get misrepresented and we don't really get any effect. The GOP just doesn't seem to have very much effect on the cities. And I was wondering, why is it that we are so ineffective in dealing with these issues?
Well, and that's a good question to ask. To me, I'm a conservative first, a patriot, then a Republican. Now, a lot of times I will agree to disagree on different issues. But a lot of times the media will twist things around showing that the Republicans are hate, mean-spirited, homophobes, gun-toting hitbacks and back to McCrary County where they lived back there in the 1960s. What has happened is that since we flipped the House under our governor, we hopefully have to have the guts to do what's right. But since we have a lot of career politicians, Democrat and Republican, been there for many years, we're talking about 20, 30 years, they're not going to change. No matter who's in the governor's office, who's in those leadership positions in the state and the House, they're not going to change. The only way to change that is term limits. And we have been harping them on this for the past, 30 years? The Tea Party used that as a main theme, term limits. And we need to really stick with that. The only way to change things is that we got to find out What does our Constitution really say? Not what the media says, but what it states. And go back to basics of God, family, and country, and stick to those basic themes. And if we can't do that, then we have a problem. I will stick to that. I am a working class citizen. I will be a working class mayor, and I will do what's right for our citizens. And to me, that is a promise I will keep, period.
All right. Now, one thing I've noticed, and I kind of seen this a little bit the other day in a real world exchange with some people, you know, there is such a revolving door going on right now. A lot of medical groups have basically overprescribed pain medication. And some of this medication has been narcotic. It's been addictive. There's been issues of opioids and things like that. And basically, a lot of people have gotten addicted through the medical institutions, and then they switch to the illegal drugs because, ironically, the illegal drugs are not costing as much money. And so all of a sudden we see a lot of this massive drug addiction and overdoses and death and everything just going on across the board all over our community. We're seeing people ravaged by it. You know, and I was talking to somebody, and not only are they dealing with their issues, but then they're trying to raise children in the community too, and they're starting to see how the government is becoming a predator upon people with this kind of stuff. And I wonder, you know, how is it that we're going to be able to trust our medical institutions in light of this? You know, how do we deal with a medical institution that's not so corrupt?
And, Matt, that's a very good point. I believe our medical institutions are being driven by our pharmaceutical companies. If you go to a doctor, what's the first thing they're going to do? He'll diagnose you and say, all right, this medicine's going to help you. But a lot of times, those medicines are harmful to you because they have all these so-called, hey, if you take this medicine, you might get high blood pressure. This could lead to death. And you're going, then why am I talking to this doctor? I thought he was going to help me to heal myself. You know, to me, there's a revolving door between the both companies and the doctors, and the doctors are being fell right into the trap of the pharmaceutical companies. And you're talking about opioids leading to illegal drugs. I had a friend of mine, which I'd rather not mention his name, had the same thing. He had pain medicine, which led him to illegal drugs, and he lost his family. He lost his job. And luckily, he went to a place called the Healing Place. You know that place on West, that West Market, Test Market? And they helped him.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem was, since I left UPS, retired from there, he fell back. And the good thing is, at least he had a safety net to go back to. I hope that maybe we can find other programs that be able to help our brothers and sisters get off of this dependency when it comes to illegal drugs and opioids. Opioids is a state countrywide problem, and it is time for our state legislators to stand up and say, this is what we need to do right. But the only way to do that is our citizens need to stand up and say, this has got to stop. And if you can't do this, then we'll fire you on election day and get somebody else in there and we'll do the job. This is not a one-day wonder. It's going to take some time to do this. But we need to have everybody to focus in the main direction and saying that it's time to help our brothers and sisters get off these addictions. Do you agree, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Let me say this, because I know this is kind of where the heart of the issue is. I think that a lot of people who may listen to this program and some of the previous episodes that we've gone over with these things, they'll probably agree with you. They see that there's a problem. And if they don't agree with all of it, they probably agree with most of it. But yet, we keep on electing these politicians, and they sound good at campaign time. And then they either, A, come up with an excuse, or B, they just happen to miss the ball and not produce anything they said they were going to produce. So what is it? What makes Bob DeVore different that you are somebody who will follow through on this?
Well, first off and foremost, I need to have a higher accountability of myself. And the only way I can do that is I need to search that myself out and ask God for his wisdom, his perspective on our society. And using my past experience, seeing my dad go through into World War II, survive through World War II, and still stand up and still act. He's 92 years old, and he's still active in his own way as much as possible. He's half blind, but he still has the courage and the guts to do what's right. I want to do the same thing as our next mayor, using my past experience as a retired Navy of 24 years. Again, my experience with UPS, we're talking about real people working in a real place, paying taxes, providing funds to help pay their own way when it comes to rent and just daily operations of their lives. To me, we need to have a mayor that has real life experiences and show those experiences of what he has done in the past and then present himself in a fashion saying that this needs to be done. We need to have a smaller government. We need to have ways to bring our businesses back to Louisville, be small business friendly oriented, lowering the utility costs for our citizens, and then trying to flip our income tax to a sales tax, which is going to be more friendlier to our society. We need to let our citizens have and keep their own money and let them make their own decisions, not politicians saying, well, we're going to find ways to backdoor play and collect that money no matter what. This has to stop. We need to put our citizens first, and then myself as mayor last, period. And this is not happening with Mayor Greg Fisher. He's been showing his – I remember when he stepped into the position of saying he was going to be a candidate for mayor, that he had wore a suit, a business suit, and said, we're going to bring in business as a way to show our citizens that this is the direction we need to go. Compassionate, caring mayor. Well, it didn't happen. So it's time for a change, a real change with a real working class citizen that wants to do what's best for our Metro Louisville citizens, period. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Bob. We'll go ahead and that will conclude our program today. I'd like to thank Robert DeVore. And before we leave, could you give us a website, and then we'll go ahead and call the episode.
Thank you very much, Matt. It's votebobdevore.org. And you can get a lot of the information on that. Again, I want to give my thanks to you and to God for giving me this opportunity to express myself, and hopefully we'll as the muddy waters of Ohio River, the response and actions and caring of myself will clear it up. And we'll have real, true transparency and real, true life experiences forward for the generations to come. So thank you, Matt.
All right. Well, we thank you very much, Bob. And we will see you all again later here on Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio.